Hare Krishna. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name number 268, Vagmi. This is derived from the word vak, which means words. So, the names, this name of Vishnu or Krishna is variously said to mean he whose words are praiseworthy, he whose words are powerful, and he from whom the Vedas originated. Of course, there are many kinds of words. There are many words in many languages. Language is a very interesting topic. Everyone uses it, but not many people think about it very much. But some people do think about it. Such people are called linguists, or in older terms, philologists. And there's also the whole psychology of language. How is it that when I... This is actually, it's not something new. This is discussed by the Vedic commentators. If, for instance, I say the word cow, you all think of a cow, right? It's a sound which we all connect with the concept of a cow. We think of, in our mind, of not very specifically, of a cow. And then we can be more specific, a black cow, or a black cow with white spots. And then there are different breeds, Jersey, Friesian, Hereford, Angus, and so on. But if we just say cow, how does it work? It's a great study in psychology how the child comes to recognize that a sound is connected with a certain object, and not only an object, but a set of objects. The cow set. We're not referring to any particular cow. We can say, just as a matter of an example, if a man has one cow and he gets another three cows, how many cows does he have when you're teaching children arithmetic? 1 + 3 = 4. So, it's a great marvel of the human brain. Actually, that's what the neurologists would say, but the devotees understand that the marvel is that Krishna gives the intelligence. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna gives the intelligence. Intelligence is remarkable, how we come to use language and we can communicate, and how in different words there are different subtleties of meaning, so that it can be very difficult to translate from one language to another, especially from one language which is cultured. It's a language which pertains to a group of people whose culture is very different to... if two languages, their culture is very different. And in many languages, there are words which don't have equivalents in other languages. Just like, for instance, in Sanskrit, we have the word guna, meaning sattva guna, rajoguna, tamoguna. There's no such word in English. Even the word dharma, there's no translatable equivalent in English. you can put something, as often translated as religion, but actually the concept of religion in the English language and the concept of dharma in Sanskrit is completely different. And even the Vedic lexicographers, they also find it difficult to precisely define what is dharma. And another point is that when we say something, we may mean something in our own mind. We have a concept in our mind, but the person to whom we speak, when we say that word, he may have a similar concept, but not exactly the same. Just like if we say God, I may say God, and I have my understanding of what it means, but someone else has another understanding. So when we're talking about God, just like the atheists will say, do you believe in God? First of all, we have to define, what do you mean by God? Or people from different religious backgrounds, they have different concepts of what they mean by God. The personalist and the impersonalist, they have different concepts. Children, please, should not run around in the class. I know it's difficult for them, but these classes are not really meant for little children. So, you may say, well, what am I talking all this stuff about language for? Because this is the name of Krishna. And when we understand the marvels within every aspect of human life, and we understand that this is all related to and all coming from Krishna, then we can better appreciate Krishna. That is why all studies, they should lead us to better appreciate Krishna. A scientist, instead of becoming an atheist, should become a greater appreciator of God. If he can have some insights into the complexity of material nature, then he should better appreciate the person who is behind all of this. So, those who are linguists, they have a whole big area of study which most people are simply not aware of at all. Actually, in the Western world, the study which was called philology, or the study of language, that came, a study of language means to study grammar, etymology, word usage, syntax, use of punctuation, and so on. So this only came about. This only came about in the Western world through contact with India. And when Western scholars observed that in India there is such a developed science of language, and then they started applying it to their own languages. Otherwise, they had no idea of any such study of language. So, all those words, all the words which everyone says in any language, that they can either be beneficial or non-beneficial. There's some, I think Sai Baba, he says that, and also there's some Dada in Pune, can't remember his name now. No, not very important to remember it. Some Sindhi guy. I met him on a train once. He's quite fairly well known guru. So, no, not Osho. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sadhu Aswa. I met him on a train. He was surrounded by all female disciples. So, both of them, they make this. And also, I believe it's the Rotary Club, they also make the same point, and that say anything unless it's beneficial. Of course, they don't know what beneficial is, what it means to be beneficial. But that's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, in the austerity of speech. Vāṅmayāṁ tapa ucchate. The austerity of speech means that one should speak satyam priyahitam, that one should speak the truth, that which is pleasing, that which is beneficial. Most people, they utilize their power of speech for talking all nonsense. Speaking can entangle us in this material world, or it can liberate us. Anavriti Shabdat. The Vedanta Sutra finishes with the comment that liberation is by sound. By sound. And sound particularly means the Vedic sound. But even the Vedic sound can be entangling. Therefore, Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita about Veda Vada Rata. People who are attached to the Vada can literally mean the words of the Vedas, or it can mean some interpretation of the Vedas. So persons who are attached to some materialistic understanding of the Vedas, their recitation of the Vedas does not liberate them from material existence. It entangles them in material existence, which means that they're not really getting knowledge at all. Veda means knowledge, but they take the Veda and they end up with another version of ignorance. So one has to be very discerning to understand what are Krishna's words. Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of everyone. He gives the Vedas for the benefit of everyone. But most people, they can't understand what Krishna says. Even if one is expert in Sanskrit, that in and of itself will not help one to understand what Krishna says. One has to be sincere to understand Krishna without any personal motive, and one has to be guided by someone who explains the Bhagavad Gita in the same way as Krishna spoke it. That's why Srila Prabhupada mentions in his introduction to the Bhagavad Gita as it is, that one has to accept the Bhagavad Gita in the same spirit that Arjuna accepted it. Mundane scholarship will not help. So, of course, some understanding is required. If one doesn't know Sanskrit at all, then one won't be able to understand it. Of course, it can be translated also. And in translation, one can understand, although it is helpful if one is going to make a deep study of Bhagavad Gita to have some understanding of the Sanskrit. And in fact, we find in Bhagavad Gita that many of the words are used again and again and again, in verse after verse, only in different combinations. Well, that's language, isn't it? Most people have a limited vocabulary. Well, everyone has a limited vocabulary, everyone except Krishna. Most people, they can operate in the world with a language without knowing it in great depth. They just use the same basic words again and again and again in different combinations. So we find in Bhagavad Gita words, well, what's the first word? Shri. No, it's Dhritarashtra. I was going to say Shri. Shri Bhagavan is there. So the first word, apart from the introduction of someone speaking, is Dharma. So we find the word dharma again and again in Bhagavad Gita. Some words that we find again and again and again are dharma, yoga. Apart from the word form yoga, we also have yukta, yujasva. These are all different forms derived from the same root, yuj, to join. Other words we find karma, jnana, bhakti, buddhi, guna, Ishvara, Atma. These are some words which we find again and again and again in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. Then also we have the words karma. That is a major discussion in Bhagavad Gita. The nature of desire. Moksha. Actually, the word doesn't come up so much, but it's a pivotal word. Muni moksha parayana, for instance. So, even though not many words are used in Bhagavad, there are a few words which are used many times. But it's a complete, a succinct explanation of all these terms, and Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives an overview of all the topics that we need to perfect our life. And it's only 700 verses, and quite a few of them are not spoken by Krishna at all, although of course the majority are. So that is a great example of Krishna's eloquence. Eloquence is defined in Vedic or terms. That's quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, to express the essence of a topic in very few words. So Krishna does that in Bhagavad Gita. Even though there is repetition in Bhagavad Gita, some repetition, some points are repeated from slightly different perspective. Just like, for instance, the well-known verse, na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayang bhutva bhavita va na bhuya ajo nitya shashvato yang purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. So the words nitya, shashvata, they are more or less synonyms, but that gives emphasis also. To say the same thing twice is to emphasize it. Or to say it with a different word. So, Krishna, he is the greatest speaker. What he has spoken is most valuable in human society, and that is demonstrated by the fact that even though Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita such a long time ago, it's still prominent in human society, especially among the most thoughtful class of people. We don't expect everyone to take an interest in Bhagavad Gita, but that will remain, even when Harry Potter is completely forgotten, when there's no one in the world who's ever heard of Harry Potter, Bhagavad Gita will remain. Therefore, we recommend teach your children Bhagavad Gita. Don't give them Harry Potter. I don't know what's in Harry Potter because I never had the misfortune of reading it. Although I saw this movie. Why are all these people watching? I thought this looks really stupid. And at the end I saw the what do they call that? The credits, and it said it's some Harry Potter movie. I wasn't watching it, but when it's on a huge screen on the airplane, you can't help seeing bits and pieces. I'm seeing everyone's looking at it. So many so many famous authors are there. Shakespeare in English. And in Sanskrit also there are mundane literatures also. Kalidas, even though it's his writings, some of them are based on Shastra. just like Shakuntala, but this Meghdoot is just a love poem. How many of you have you heard of that? Probably all forgotten, because no one studies any such thing. It's higher culture than Bollywood, that's for sure. It's the culture of old India, but it's just a mundane love story. For that matter, in Mahabharata, there is much which is practically mundane. This Nala Damayanti, there's no spiritual message in there. It's some love story, that's all. It teaches the fidelity of a wife to a husband. But there's no spiritual teaching as such. So, what Krishna speaks, that is the essence of all that should be spoken and all that should be heard. And we will be well advised to hear what Krishna speaks. There are many, many things which many people say. And many of them can be of some value to devotees also, even some things which are not Krishna conscious. As long as one is in this world, sharira yatra, well, then it can be useful in the execution of our activities in this world, in Krishna's service, to be knowledgeable about it to some extent. I mean, we can't know everything. Especially as we have to meet with many people who have many interests other than Krishna consciousness and who are enamored by the knowledge of this world. If we can talk with them on their terms and introduce Krishna consciousness, that can be very convincing to them. Just like, for instance, if we have to meet scientists who are enamored by science, and they think that science is really the knowledge that everyone should be aware of, and we don't need all this religion and this and that, but if a devotee is knowledgeable in science and can talk with scientists about science at a level that impresses them and also present Krishna consciousness, then they may be inclined to take it more seriously. Whereas they're not inclined to, we're talking generally here, generally they're not inclined to be very interested to listen from someone because they think that science is the highest knowledge, and why should we listen to these dogmas of religion, all this belief? People often ask us, what do you believe? Which means from the very outset they think that we don't have knowledge, it's just some blind belief. However, although we may study, or we may have some knowledge of science, those who are preaching via science, which Srila Prabhupada wanted, some devotees in his movement, those who have a background of that, to do so, they have to keep up with what's going on in the world of science, because it's always changing. There are always new theories and new ideas and new discoveries. So if you speak, you want to speak about science on the basis of what you learned 30 years ago, it won't impress people who are up to date with the latest scientific speculations. So one has to keep up with all of that. But one should be rooted in, one's understanding should be based in what Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. And of course, Bhagavad Gita is not all that Krishna speaks. Krishna's speaking is not limited to Bhagavad Gita. All the Vedas come from him. And specifically, we'll find him speaking in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. We find the same topics of Bhagavad Gita explained extensively to Uddhava. That's called the Uddhava Gita. There's no time, there are no time constraints there when Krishna was speaking to Uddhava. So the same topics spoken in Bhagavad Gita, he explained in more detail. And we find his instructions in various avatars throughout Bhagavatam and other parts of the Vedic literature. This morning I was reading about Kapila, his Sankhya philosophy. So, Krishna has a lot to say. Bhagavad Gita is relatively brief, although Bhagavad Gita is like a great ocean. Krishna's speaking is so profound that even if we consider even one verse, it's like a great ocean of knowledge. It's so deep. So Krishna speaks extensively, but even one word which he speaks, if we try to analyze it, we'll find it's beyond our capacity to fully understand. So Krishna's speaking is so profound. It's a different platform to that of mundane philosophers and mundane religionists and mundane scientists. So we should be very interested in what Krishna says. So this name is very important to understand, Vagmi, to understand that Krishna speaking, that is very important. So many people are speaking so many things. What is that verse in Bhagavatam, in the second canto? Shukadev says that people have so many subjects for discussing in human society. But they don't know Atma-tattva. They miss the real point. They're discussing so many things. But the real thing they should discuss, the science of the soul, they miss it altogether. So Krishna, he focuses on that point. He doesn't get waylaid by karma, jnana, or this yoga, understood as Ashtanga yoga. But he focuses on the point of Atma-tattva. So his words are certainly praiseworthy, they're certainly powerful. It is from him that the Vedas originate, all good words. Wherever there's any truth, we can understand that that is a reflection of what Krishna says. It may be, we find some people who have no connection with Krishna, they may say some things which are true. Of course, they don't know the spiritual science, but they may, by some analysis, come to the conclusion that this world is full of suffering. One of the reasons why in the English language, maybe the main reason that Shakespeare is so much lauded as a great writer, is because he has poignant insights into the human condition. And there are so many novelists. Why should people be interested to read novels? They're just some stories, some imagination. Because via these novels, the various writers, and there are so many of them, Dickens and Tolstoy and Dostoevsky and Steinbeck, and I wasted so many years of my life reading all these authors in my childhood. But even though they write stories, but they are considered valuable in human society because they have some insights into the human condition, into the nature of human beings and how people think and operate and